Whether you live in the future and get deliveries by a drone or live in the past and get deliveries by a pterodactyl, the place to go for everything is Amazon.com. Get the best deals on whatever you're looking for and help support Rob Has a Podcast whenever you use our link at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another episode of Rob Has a Podcast. And boy, we have a lot of stuff to talk about here today. We are going to be talking about the new show, Opposite Worlds, and we're going to be visiting a few different Opposite Worlds as we get ready for one jam-packed podcast. Let me give you the rundown of what we're going to talk about on this episode. We're going to start off where the host of Opposite Worlds, his name is Luke Tipple. You may know him from, he was also the host of the CW show Capture. We're going to talk with him about exactly what is Opposite Worlds. It's a show that is premiering on Sci-Fi this Tuesday, which is basically like a Big Brother, but half the house is in the future and the other half of the house is set in the past. So it sounds like a really crazy idea. We're going to talk with Luke and he's going to tell us a little bit more about what we should expect on the Tuesday night premiere of Opposite Worlds. Then we're going to check in with Kurt Clark because it is time to get ready for Miss Survivor, and we're going to open up the polls for the Miss Survivor voting this weekend. So we're going to preview a little bit of what's coming up with Miss Survivor. And then we're going to talk with Alex Forstenhausler, who you may know from Reality Game Masters. He is going to be helping me produce the Rob Has a Podcast roast, the Survivor roast of Rob Cesternino. And so we're going to talk with Alex. He's going to talk about what's coming up with the roast. We got a few more names to announce. And then I'm going to respond to some of the controversy that came out of my podcast earlier this week with Gordon Holmes, where we talked about what the all-star versions of the Brains, Beauty, and Brawn tribes are going to be. So a lot to do here in this podcast. Happy to have you guys on board here for what should be a very fun and eventful show. So I told you Miss Survivor is kicking off this weekend, but that's not the only big news in the Survivor world. We have our premiere date for Survivor 28. Survivor Cagayan is going to premiere, a two-hour premiere. Very exciting, on Wednesday, February 26th. That is going to be the premiere date. And we also have a premiere date for The Amazing Race All-Stars, which is going to be the Sunday before that, which I believe is the 23rd. So it's a little unusual for Amazing Race to premiere before Survivor, but it's going to be one episode of Amazing Race, and it's going to be Amazing Race All-Stars. So they haven't announced the cast list. I'm sure there's plenty of cast lists floating around if you're that curious of who's going to be on there. We'll talk about that when it drops. But Amazing Race All-Stars is going to premiere on the 23rd of February, the Sunday night. And then Survivor, a two-hour premiere, is going to be on the 26th of February. And then hopefully, assuming Stephen Fishback is good to do the show a little bit later, we'll bring you then Survivor Know-It-Alls then on February 26th. And then we will have the morning of February 27th, we should have two people, I guess no Redemption Island, so we should have two exit interviews for you on that morning. So that's about 5 or 6 weeks away as we get ready for that. Now, coming up much quicker than that, this Monday night on the 20th of January, we are going to be speaking with the cast of Survivor Pearl Islands. And are you ready for this? We're very excited. 8 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be reuniting with the Survivor Pearl Islands cast. Now, I have reached out to a number of the cast. Not everybody got back to me. Not everybody wanted to do it. But let me tell you who's going to be there. We are going to have the winner of Survivor Pearl Islands, Sandra Diaz-Twine, is going to be with us. We are going to have the reality TV icon, the man who lied about his grandma, Johnny Fairplay, is going to be with us. We're going to have the always fun Krista Hasty with us on Monday night. We should also have a man who was the first player to be voted out of Survivor twice. Mr. Burton Roberts should be joining us. And, of course, we're also going to hear from the four-time Survivor All-Star, Rupert Boneham. So we are very excited for the Survivor Pearl Islands reunion. Now, I've been told that this is... Now, we have... Ironically, everybody that we have so far is from the Drake tribe. So the Morgan tribe is very unrepresented, but If anybody from the Morgan Tribe, if you know anybody from the Morgan Tribe and you want to put some pressure on them to show up, then go ahead and do that. But we're going to do the show on Monday night with those five, and we'll see if we add anybody else more to the list. But I'm very excited, so we'll see. We'll see exactly how that's going to go. But Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you saw the one from Survivor Amazon, you know it's going to be a fun show. We're going to take your questions. We want to hear stories, that things that didn't happen on the air, how people feel about things 10 years after the fact. And it's going to be a lot of fun. A little belated 10-year anniversary of Survivor Pearl Islands, of course, with Rupert being on the show last season. So I'm very much looking forward to that on Monday night. So a lot of big stuff coming up. And of course, if you want to check out my podcast with Gordon Holmes from earlier in the week of The Brains, Beauty, and Brawn, that's available also on robhasawebsite.com. So get locked in. Lots of good stuff coming up. Subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. We always appreciate your comments and feedback. And let's go ahead and get into it. So I see that we have here on the line Mr. Luke Tipple. Luke is going to be hosting the new reality series on Sci-Fi. It's going to be airing on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights for the next few weeks. Here he is, Luke Tipple. Luke, are you there?
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing fantastic, Luke. Thank you very much for spending some time with us. That we are we cover reality TV. We've got a lot of people who are Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race fans, and a lot of people are very intrigued about what you guys are doing with these opposite worlds.
I think they should be. You know, I'm a big fan of those shows as well, and there's definitely, you know, aspects of this show that will really register with fans of those other entities. They're really going to like this one. It's something a little bit different, but also a bit familiar as well.
Okay, good. Well, whenever there's a new show, you know, there's a lot of rules and all sorts of things that go into it. So hopefully you could sort of walk us through what we're going to see when Opposite Worlds premieres on Tuesday night on Sci-Fi. So tell us, how does the game work?
Okay. Well, I'll try to break it down fairly simply. There are a lot of elements to this, particularly because we do have a social media aspect where people can actively participate live in what will actually happen. But here's the basics. We have two teams. One is called Team Kronos and one is Team Epoch. They live in opposite sides of one house that is separated by a glass wall. On one side is the future, on the other side is the past. I won't give away too much, but you've probably seen some of the shorts. Mm-hmm. The future is super comfortable and awesome. The past is awful. It's like living in a forest in sticks and mud and, you know, literally huddling around a fire. And if you can't start a fire, literally huddling around each other for warmth. Every week, those teams will do battle. The winner of that battle will get to choose which team lives in the future and past. So those teams will get to literally fight for their fates throughout the game. We also have an elimination every week that you'll see live, where two of the players from the team will actually battle it out hand on hand in a short contest that will determine which one of them goes home and is therefore eliminated. That is actually something that people can participate in live via Twitter, and they'll get to choose which people are indirectly selected. So it's actually a pretty cool way for people to actively get involved. And as you know, the Truth Tonight show is taped, so we're filming that right now. We just finished taping up a package for that last night. Then Wednesday night will be live. So we'll have a couple of packages throughout Wednesday, but for the most part it's live, and they will see the actual elimination go down live. So the shorts and trailers that you've seen so far are basically cobbled together from promotional shoots done in LA and the past format that was in Chile. So it's all going to be fresh, new content, completely live, and people are really going to dig it.
Okay, so Luke, so the two teams, do they change every week, or are you stuck with the same team? Like, you and your whole team moves to the future side of the house, or you and your whole team moves, or is it half, you know, they switch it up every episode?
Well, right now, the teams will battle in what we call a worldly challenge, and the team who wins gets to choose where they spend the next week. So that might be they choose to go into the future or the past. So in that way, the teams switch sides. As for shuffling between the teams, you'll have to wait for the season to see how that plays out.
Okay. Tell me about the glass wall that separates the two sides.
The glass wall is our sort of unspeaking, you know, but ever-present player in this game. It's kind of it's a piece of torment. So if you can imagine that you're sitting in the past in the cold, you're huddled up in furs, you know, gathered around a fire for, you know, the little bit of warmth that you can get. You're collecting water from a constant rain drip in the outdoors for all of your drinking, washing needs. Your food is fairly scarce, but yet just feet away through this transparent wall is your opposing team, your nemesis in this game, living it up, drinking champagne, watching TV, kicking back with their iPads, and, you know, food is at the touch of a button for them. So, and on the other side, you've got obviously the future people who are kicking it and just getting to see, you know, the misery of what it is to live just feet away from there. So it's a very interesting aspect of the game.
So, Luke, how did you guys find the people to compete on this show? And was it a sort of like, did people make applications to get on this, or was this were they cast for any specific reason?
Well, our people come from all kinds of walks of life, but they do share a fairly similar aspect that they're physical people. They're, you know, we have a lot of personal trainers and, you know, mentally strong people, people that we knew would give us a really good competition. So we have our core cast of 12 people that were found in that way, and they come from all over the states. Then we also have another 4 people that right now viewers can vote on which 2 they'd like to see. So if you go to oppositeworlds.sci-fi.com, you'll see our 12 contestants, and right below that, there's another 4 heads, 4 images there of our people who are waiting to see if they get onto the show. The cool thing is the people who are already in their teams, the 12 people living in the house, they don't know about the other 4. So that's going to be an additional thing that we'll add in, I think, in episode 3. But that's great. So the people who want to can get online. They can vote on which additional 2 contestants get to join. And they can see their casting tapes and get a little bit of background on the people who they are.
Yeah, I like that. I like of the new people that are going to go into the house. There's one guy that I like. I'm endorsing.
Who's your favorite?
Steve. I think Steve should be the one to go in.
You
the
like
house.
Steve?
I do.
I think he'd be fun to get in there. In fact, I like them all. I think that all bring a unique element to the show. Steve, I think he's kind of that dark horse guy where, you know, he kind of plays it like the nerd, but he could actually have quite a bit of strength of character about him. To be a nationally recognized Quidditch champion, I think you've got to be strong on some level. So
right.
I'd love to see him out there.
No. Luke, how much interaction are you going to have with the contestants? Like on Survivor, Jeff Probst is right in there. He's moderating the whole tribal council. On Big Brother, Julie Chen is like via satellite that they only see her once they get out of the house. Or are you going to be having any interaction with these guys?
Yeah, I have a lot. And that's one of the things I love about this show. You could probably think about it in terms of a Survivor-esque level of involvement that I have. I don't get involved in their lives when they're actually living inside the house. When they're in their worlds, as we call them, of the future and the past, they're on their own to kind of survive. They have, when they come out to join me in the present, that's where everything happens. That's where the eliminations go down. That's where they get all their rules. The moderations happen. Both levels of challenges, the team challenge and the individual challenge, they happen out in the present as well. And all of that is adjudicated and moderated by me. So you'll see me calling the games, explaining the games, how it works. And they're very, very physical. Again, something that I like about it. So they're going to be really challenged. We're going to see some people really push to the limits, and I get to be the guy driving them, which is a lot of fun for me.
Can you give us an example of what the challenges are like? Is it sort of like Survivor, where it's like some sort of like obstacle course that they have to complete, like whoever gets done the fastest?
Yeah, they'll generally be, they'll always involve some level of physical involvement. One of the challenges, for example, involves knocking people off a platform.
We like that.
Then there'll be also, sorry?
We like that. That's good.
Yeah. There's some hand-to-hand combat without getting really down and boxing each other. But there's some very physical stuff. There's some big falls that are going to be taken. There's some intellectual challenges that involve some speed and strength, but also teamwork. And the individual challenges are going to be interesting as well, because that's when we'll get to see the two people who are up for elimination. They will go into a challenge, and the winner of that challenge gets to stay. The other one, they go home. So there's no final voting by the public or the teams. The voting gets them to that level where your two individuals are then going to fight it out. But then it's up to them. And that's another thing I like about this. They literally get to say, all right, one of you gets to stick around and maybe compete for $100,000. The other one's going home. Which is it? Go. And we get to see it play out live on TV.
And is there any sort of, like if it's a man versus a woman in some sort of physical competition, is that that's kosher? It's just if that's how it breaks down, that's how it breaks down?
Well, in the team challenges where we have a greater level of control, there will always be some type of physical matchup. So, for example, if it's a physical hand-to-hand combat type scenario, it'll always be a guy versus a guy. Mm-hmm. But then it's up to the teams which guy they choose to send out. Some other challenges may not need to be that segregated. We just make a judgment call on, keeping it as fair as possible. When it comes down to the individuals, well, that all comes down to which team members are up for elimination. The individual challenges are designed to be a level playing field to some extent. But in the end, it may be the strongest, it may be the quickest. That doesn't necessarily give an advantage to either a guy or a girl, because we've got some very fit and strong athletic women in this game as well. So to me, it's an even playing field.
In addition to the TV show, is there going to be any sort of live feeds or any way to watch the people on the 24/7 type cameras like they do on Big Brother?
Now, we do have RoboCams. We have 4 RoboCams per site, per world. And they're running 24/7. I don't yet know if they're going to make that feed available. I believe we're going to at least show a lot of excerpts available on the web,
okay,
whether that's a live feed or not, or whether you control the cameras or not. I believe that's still being decided upon. But the coverage is extensive. The contestants, they don't go back to a hotel room at night.
Yeah.
They live in this world for the next 6 weeks. This is where they're stuck. And you'll see a lot of that coverage, a lot of the stuff that, I guess, like in Big Brother, that's where they are. The cameras are rolling 24 hours a day, and we'll capture some really great stuff.
All right, Luke. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to know, just like we see on Big Brother, do you think there will be any showmances that develop in the house? Probably not in the past, because they've had bigger problems. But will these future people in these nice conditions, there's some good-looking women on this show, do you think that there will be any hooking up happening in the future?
You know, mate, I got to say, we've got some very attractive contestants. And they're all here to compete and have a great time. The people in the future got straight away stuck into the champagne last night, and who knows, that indulgence could lead to some nefarious activities. But it wouldn't write off the past. People in the past, they're going to be struggling for warmth, and they're in fairly skimpy loincloth style clothing, so we may just see some hooking up purely out of warmth necessity.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this show is kind of like one side of the world is people that are on Survivor, and the other side of the world are people that are on Big Brother, so you really get to...
Very much so. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. One side, we've got the hunter-gatherers, literally struggling for survival. They're not happy at all. They're freezing cold. Life sucks over there. And just to watch, 24 hours a day, be able to watch people living in such opulence directly through the wall, that's really got to mess with their minds. But on the other hand, and as I put it to them, it's an interesting question. Which one would you prefer to be on? If you live in the past and, the game becomes so real for you, you're hungry, you want to compete, you want to fight. It really does bring out those animal survival instincts that we all have. In the future, do you get an advantage from being rested and fed, or do you get a bit lazy and perhaps not ready to compete at the level where the other guys who are really hungry are ready to put you down? Because this all comes down to the team challenges and the individual challenges. So it's going to come down to who wants it more. And I guess we'll learn which way of living breeds that type of hunger.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. The people that are in the pass now, what do they do for food? Are there animals roaming around, or they just have to go and like forage for things that are in wherever their location is?
Well, they're confined to the house, so they'll be given rations specific to their environment. But they will have to do a little bit of foraging, and it won't be so easy for them. To give you a great example, collecting water. Something that we wouldn't usually think about, you know, it's usually available off of the faucet or out of the fridge. But we have just a slow trickle of water running down one of the walls in the outdoor area.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a few rain buckets that they might be able to collect rain. So they're going to have to constantly have somebody collecting water and cycling the water buckets out, designating water for different activities, whether it's for washing or for using the bathroom or for drinking. Just simple little things like that, the challenges they're going to have to find. How do they manage their waste? There's toilets, but they're not toilets as we think of them. They're going to have to manage their hygiene and everything using just that water. So there's going to be a lot of challenges that they won't necessarily be thinking about in modern day life.
And how long does the show last?
We're 6 weeks. Twice a week, so we're Tuesday night with the taped show, Wednesday night with the live show, and we're 12 episodes. So the first episode starts on the 21st of January. I believe we wrap about the 26th or 27th of February.
Okay, well that's really perfect for us, because that's the week that Survivor premieres. So this is a nice little show that's going to take us through the Survivor offseason. This is perfect timing
for
you guys.
It's a wonderful lead-up, and you know, I'll tell you what, this is, as you say, it's kind of that hybrid with elements of other things, but in a completely unique spin. You know, the viewers of Survivor would definitely appreciate the elements we're throwing at them. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody who loves a really good competition where there is a social game to be played, but you also give people a fighting chance where you say, all right, you're lost on the social level, but get in there and, you know, compete for yourself. This is your last opportunity, but just between you and that guy, who's going to go home? I really like that fighting aspect of this game.
I'm reading up about the show on the Sci-Fi website. Now, they're talking about the Twitter popularity index on the website.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how you can tweet about how you love people, or you could tweet about how you hate people. Like, how is that? Is there going to be somebody who's reading all the tweets and deciding who is liked by the world population that's watching it?
Kind of, yeah, but in a much more sophisticated way.
Yeah.
The social media aspect is something that's completely different to the viewers of, you know, the shows that you've mentioned before. We have a Twitter popularity index, which is being presented by Verizon. Now, what it is actually an algorithm that calculates the intent or the sentiment behind the tweet that somebody sends. So when they use the hashtag Opposite Worlds and mention one of the players' names, if they were to say, you know, I really, really like Rob, he's a great guy, I hope he wins, that would score very high. They get a score from 0 to 100, so that might get a 90, for example. If you say, you know, Rob's kind of cool, I think he's got a good shot, that might get a 60. If you say, I really hate Rob, I wish he wasn't around anymore, he needs to leave, that might get
That's
a
been
two.
Said.
But the algorithm actually reads what you say and scores based on, you know, the empathy behind that tweet. And then we have our popularity board. So the most popular player who's getting the most favorable tweets will get rewarded every week. The least popular player will get punished. So there's that psychology that the players have to go through, knowing that everything that they do is being watched by people and voted upon. And that sentiment is being conveyed right through to the point where their lifestyle is affected. To take that even further, we're going to give the audience 3 punishments and 3 rewards to vote on, and the winner of those will be the punishment or reward that the players receive.
Tell me about these punishments. Give me an example of a punishment you guys might throw at them.
You know, that's something that's a little bit in secrecy right now. But what I can say is that the punishment is most likely going to affect their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, their warmth or their ability to eat, ability to socialize with others. Some of the things that might actually help them in the game that builds up their strength or social standing. A reward might be something that improves that. Maybe they get extra rations or they get to communicate a bit more freely, perhaps with the outside world. Some of the things that, you know, really sort of bolster the spirits in these types of games.
Now, Luke,
will be significant, I can tell you that.
You're a pretty adventurous guy. Which side of the house would you want to live on?
You know, as I said before, living in the past is miserable, but I got to say, it does. I could even see it in their eyes after just a couple of hours of being in there. You could see that the people in the past were very hungry. They wanted to win. You know, they understood what it was to be disadvantaged by living in the past. The people in the future had a couple of drinks and they were okay about things. So I think some time spent in both strategically would be a good way to play it. If I was in this game, I'd be playing to win. So I'd be going 12 episodes. I'd want to at least spend and cycle myself out of, you know, the past and the future several times. You know, living in the past to stay hungry, stay strong, and then maybe go to the future to reward myself a little bit. But you definitely have to have a mix. If you don't understand both sides of the game, or if you only try to stay in the future the whole time, that's your only goal, I don't believe you're really going to be able to play a very balanced game. And what's more, remember, people in America are actually voting on essentially who gets the opportunity to win this game. So just living in the future, maybe living in the lap of luxury the whole time, I think that people are going to feel a little more empathetic towards the people living in the past who are really struggling and really hungry to win the 100 grand.
Yeah. Luke, a lot of our listeners also know you from Capture on the CW. So look, you've got all these reality shows coming together. Look at you. You could be like the next Jeff Probst.
Well, I'm flattered by that, you know, particularly for the watch of Capture. Love you guys. That was a fantastic show. I really, really loved what we did there. And I feel just the same about this show, even more so. This is something that's going to be amazing. For me, this is something I really, really love to do. I've always been a very adventurous guy, always loved the format of, you know, Amazing Race, Survivor type thing. And when I set out to be a host, this is really where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in a place where I could really challenge people, take them through a journey, and kind of break them down and build them back up and just see what human beings are capable of. That's something that's really inspiring to me. It's something I love to see unfold in front of me. And it's something I love to share with everyone else just by entertaining them.
All right. Well, check it out. Tuesday night, check out Luke Tipple on the Opposite Worlds on Sci-Fi. It airs at 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's like the Flintstones meet the Jetsons. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, Luke.
Thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All the best of luck with the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Check back in anytime.
Oh, we will. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Luke Tipple talking about Opposite Worlds premiering on Sci-Fi on Tuesday night. Now, here, let me just tell you one of the reasons why I'm excited about Opposite Worlds, because I'm thinking about to myself, okay, this isn't a show like Big Brother, which is on, you know, a major network, which has, millions of people watching. I don't know how many people are going to watch Opposite Worlds, but I also, whatever that number is, it's going to be a fraction of that audience that watches Opposite Worlds that votes and tweets about Opposite Worlds, as opposed to the audience of Rob as a podcast, which a much larger percentage of this audience is on social media and tweeting. So I kind of think we are going to be a very big voting block here in the Opposite Worlds community. So basically, I'm sort of thinking whatever we want to happen on Opposite Worlds, I feel like we have a really good chance to be able to make that happen. So it's going to be very fun to watch it because I kind of feel like we are the most organized potential voting block that is out there possibly watching Opposite World. So I think that with this podcast, I think this could make this a lot of fun. I think that, who knows, maybe they look back and they say, you know what, this was a mistake letting Twitter decide so much of how this happens. You know, with The Glass House, we thought we had a shot, but again, that was on ABC and that had still had a bigger audience, even though it was canceled. But I feel like this could be very fun. I'm looking forward to The Opposite World. And I think, well, let's see. Let's see how this goes. So we'll see on Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so you guys know what month it is. It is Wanuary, and that can only mean one thing, that it is time for the big pageants that go along with that. The Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor competitions are almost here. And with that, much like Santa Claus in December or Dick Vitale in March, you know it's time to hear from this guy. You know him as the Tabulator. He is the man behind the scenes counting all the votes for Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor. Here he is, the amazing Kurt Clark.
Hey there, Rob.
Yes, and Kurt, just to add another feather in your cap, I haven't announced yet that Kurt will be joining us on our coverage of Opposite Worlds, that Kurt and I will be live on Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern to talk about the premiere of Opposite Worlds, and we'll also be on Wednesday night to talk about the first elimination on Opposite Worlds. So, Kurt, you have so much going on this month.
It's going to be a busy week.
Yes. Plus, Brian Lynch is going to be with us along the way to cover Opposite Worlds. So we are bringing out the big guns here on Rob as a Podcast to talk Opposite Worlds as we get ready for the countdown to Survivor, which is about 6 weeks away now.
Yeah, and I think nicely fits with Opposite Worlds. I believe it only runs 6 weeks, two episodes a week. So hopefully it'll kind of free up your schedule a bit for Survivor once that starts.
Yes. Do you think that we could change the name to Opposite Worlds, : The Bridge to Survivor?
I think we can put a petition out there and get that to happen.
Sure. It's the glass wall that's separating us from the non-Survivor life that we are stuck in and the with Survivor life that will be the glamorous for the haves on that side. How about that?
We can see it glinting there tantalizingly just beyond our reach.
We'll press our nose up to the glass. Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
All right, but we're not here to talk about Opposite Worlds anymore now, Kurt. We need to start talking about the Miss Survivor pageant, which is kicking off this Sunday. Is that right, Kurt?
Yep, we're going to kick off this Sunday, and it's going to run for a week with the voting ending midnight Pacific time next Saturday.
Okay. So when will the polls open up for Miss Survivor? When can people start voting?
You know, the survey is pretty much programmed and ready. That's going to be largely, I guess, up to you and when you want to make the site live. It can be at 12:01 a.m. Morning.
Yes. People need to sleep at their desk waiting for 12:01 a.m. on Sunday. That's, what day is that? That is the 19th, yes, 1 week before the Survivor roast. Okay, so 12:01 a.m. on Sunday, January 19th, 12:01 a.m. Eastern time. Now, what do we do? I forget, between the Podcast Awards, the Stitcher Awards, and Miss Survivor, what do we let people vote once?
Technically, they are able to vote once. People have, enterprising young minds out there have gotten around that, but I, equally enterprising, am able to tell if people are voting from the same device or the same computer, for example. So, but yes, people technically can vote once. We discourage ballot stuffing. It happens. I clean the data. It all ends up good in the end. I think the last couple of years, we did this for the Big Brother Top 20. We did it for Miss Survivor last year. I've cleaned the data, and the results are the same before and after anyway. So people just make lives a lot easier if they just voted once anyway.
All right. Can I vote once on my computer and once on my phone and once on my iPad? Do we allow that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's fair. I think you get one vote per device you have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll see. Maybe there are it's a Miss Survivor or Mr. Survivor that are for the more technologically savvy people.
There you go.
If you have multiple devices. Okay. So this first week is going to be the voting for Miss Survivor. And then When does the voting for Mr. Survivor start?
Well, I believe that with the voting for Miss Survivor ending at midnight on Saturday, then the voting for Mr. Survivor will immediately kick off the next day at Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So
I can vote for Miss Survivor up until midnight Eastern on Saturday, the 25th, and then I can vote for Mr. Survivor at 12:01 a.m. on Sunday?
Yeah, and you know, I think earlier I had said midnight Pacific time
yes.
on Saturday, but I think you're right. If we're kicking off at midnight on Eastern time, let's end it at midnight on Eastern time. Then, like you said, 12:01, immediately flip it around, strike the set and change the scenery and put up a Mr. Survivor poll 1 minute later.
Okay. So then that's going to take us through then all next, next week is Miss Survivor. The following week is going to be all the voting for Mr. Survivor. So
yep.
then the week of February 3rd, we're going to get this calendar straight while we have the tabulator on the line. So then we're going to do the Miss Survivor results show, what's looking like on Monday the 3rd, and then the Mr. Survivor results show on February 5th, which is Wednesday.
Correct.
Although maybe we do it Thursday because if Opposite Worlds is going to be a factor there. So we'll figure that out as we get to that week.
Yeah, we'll get it all straightened out for folks.
Yeah. And the way we do that is we're going to count down from 18 to 4, and then we'll have our top 3 for Miss Survivor at that point. And then the following week we'll have interviews. And then the week after that, you'll be able to vote. And then right before the premiere, we'll announce the winner of Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor. And of course, we'll try to get our debates in, assuming everybody accepts their nomination and accepts the... Actually, if you accept your nomination, then you have to come to the debate. That's what we're going to get people to sign on for that ahead of time.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So now this Miss Survivor competition, let's just talk... let's break it down for a little bit. Lots of interesting storylines, compelling storylines. We have, in two instances, mother versus daughter in Miss Survivor. How do you think that's going to play out?
I don't think that you're going to necessarily see, if we're talking like from a Tina and Katie perspective, I can't necessarily see them campaigning. So I'm actually a little bit more interested in the Sierra-Laura pairing. I could see both mother and daughter in that instance wanting the honor. So that could be a really nice battle.
Now, if Sierra and Laura Moret are both in the top 3 for Miss Survivor, will Sierra campaign against her mom for Miss Survivor?
I think that's a given. I don't think you know better than to ask that. Of course she is.
Oh boy. Oh boy. If Tina and Katie are in the top 3 for Miss Survivor, will Tina ask Katie to give up? Or if she minds, if she goes ahead and knocks her out of Miss Survivor?
I think in that case, it's going to be a lot more friendly. We're going to see life imitating Survivor in this case. but we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting because I think there's a lot of people on this most recent season. But we also don't want people to forget Kara Moen and everything that happened last spring. Well, so I think we've got to keep our eyes on both sides of the wall here.
All right, so let me ask you, what do you think is going to be more... Again, I can only ask you this now before the votes start coming in. I can't ask you this the night that we do the show. Do you think there will be more representation in the top 3 from Kara Moen or from Blood versus Water?
I think unless we see some really tough, really spirited campaigning from the Kara Moen crowd, just due to recency and due to some bigger characters... Hmm. I think we're going to see more representation from Blood versus Water, not just in the top 3, but potentially in the top 10.
It's going to be very interesting. Now, again, if you guys are, I know we picked up a lot of new listeners in 2013. Just so you know, only the people that competed on Survivor in 2013 are eligible for Miss and Mr. Survivor 2014. So it's basically the 20 men and women each that were on the seasons that aired in the last calendar year. So it's going to be very interesting. Last year, we had 2 people from the spring season and only 1 person from the fall, but it was that person from the fall, R.C. St. Amour, that won Miss Survivor last year. So it could go any number of ways.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see if anybody here picks up a campaign manager or two to help them with their getting ahead in the polls.
But we know the campaigning is everything. We'll see exactly how it's going to go. And there's, you know, a number of wild cards. It's going to be very exciting. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is with the Blood versus Water people, how much will people's spouses or significant others campaign for them with the Blood versus Water people? That I think that's going to be one of the big storylines between Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor.
Yeah, and yep, and are people going to try to potentially campaign in pairs in cases where there's a mixed gender? Are there going to be a vote split between people who have the same gender? It can go a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then once we get to Mr. Survivor, things could get really ugly. You've got brother versus brother in Otis and Vetus competing for Mr. Survivor. You have Caleb versus Colton. That could tear apart that relationship. What if they're both in the top three, Kurt?
Would they campaign? The claws come out on all fronts.
Would they campaign against each other, do you think?
I think that you'd more likely see Otis and Vetus campaigning against each other than you would see Colton and Caleb. But I think you're going to see it somewhere. And then, and also don't forget that for Blood versus Water, we also had the rap fan favorite player of the season. And so there's already some idea within the crowd there, both male and female, who's got the edge on who. And you're going to potentially see that already have lit a fire under some people and make them want to campaign even harder right out of the gates.
Yeah, I think so. Another interesting storyline is that in Andrea Belke, you have a former Miss Survivor finalist having another chance at redemption to win the Miss Survivor that she came oh so close to winning and when she could have been Miss Survivor 2012.
And not only was she, I think... she wasn't just up for Miss Survivor 2012. She was up against the entire panoply of female survivors going all the way back.
Andrea Belke had a big base. She's almost like Hillary Clinton, who almost came close to winning the presidency, was so close to winning that Democratic nomination, and now she has a second chance now to make a run at it. Now that she has she's eligible once again.
Right. I think if we are looking to Kara Moen for some hope in terms of the presentation in the top three, you're really going to be looking at the people who are the returning players in Kara Moen. I think anybody who is a new player in Kara Moen is going to have an uphill battle, but anything is possible. And I want to encourage everybody out there to campaign as hard as they can and to just, spread the word.
Yeah. No, definitely the female fans and even the male fans from Survivor Kara Moen, they have their work cut out for them. But hey, that's why where the campaigning comes in so big,
Yep.
Mount an effective campaign and you could find yourself in the top three. And as we saw last year, RC was the dark horse, but she had an effective campaign. She did great in the debates and she became Miss Survivor. And that's how you do it, It's going to be it never goes how we expect it to go.
I have no idea how either of these competitions are going to end up. I have some suspicions about at least who's probably going to place in the top six or seven. But in terms of who the top three are, I see representation across the board and possibilities everywhere.
How many votes did we have in the first round last year? Do you remember?
Let me pull it up really quick. I actually have it open. It looks like in the first round of Miss Survivor last year, we ended up having just under 4,000 votes.
4,000 votes. Okay, that's pretty impressive. I think we're going to beat that this year.
Oh, I think definitely. I think, given the fact that for the fan favorite player of the season, we had close to 5,000 votes.
Okay.
So,
and that was open for like 2 days.
There you go.
All right. And so one last question. Who do you think is going to get more votes in the first round of voting? Miss Survivor or Mr. Survivor? Which one do you think is going to have more people voting for it?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and put my money on Miss Survivor.
Okay. Survivor is well established. Okay. So Miss Survivor, the voting is going to open up 12:01 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday, January 19th. You're going to go to MissSurvivor.com. I'll also have a link up on RobHasAWebsite.com. And then on the 26th of January at 12:01 a.m., the Mr. Survivor voting opens up, and that URL is a little trickier. It's Mr. Survivor, but spelled out M-I-S-T-E-R Survivor.com. Apparently somebody is squatting on MR Survivor, but didn't do anything with it. So we are at it's MissSurvivor.com and MrSurvivor.com, and that's where you go to cast your votes.
Great.
Okay. All right, Kurt. Well, we will talk to you on Tuesday on the premiere night of Opposite Worlds, and then you can give us a little check-in on how many votes are coming in for Miss Survivor.
Looking forward to it.
All right, look, we're going to talk to you a lot this month, Kurt. I'm very excited.
You know what? It's Kurt Overload is going to be the byword for the next few weeks.
Kurt Overload. All right. Tabulator, talk to you later.
Yep, take it easy.
All right. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was the Tabulator, Kurt Clark, checking in before the polls open up for Miss Survivor. Very exciting. Very, very exciting couple of weeks here as we get ready for the countdown to Survivor Cagayan. I just wanted to quickly say it again on the podcast. For those of you guys who signed up to be one of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, if you want to get into the Rob Has a Patron Facebook group that I created, and for whatever reason, either you wrote back to me and it slipped through the cracks, or I didn't send you an invitation and you want one, definitely just shoot me an email at rob@robhasawebsite.com. And if you want to find out more about how to support the podcast by becoming a patron, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. Or you can click on the link, which is at the bottom of the show page. So, all right, well, let's turn our attention now to the big Survivor roast, which is right around the corner, coming up next weekend. And let's bring in a man who is very busy going through, filtering through all of the jokes that you guys are sending his way, working with the survivors on everybody getting their material ready. He's going to be coming out here as well to LA to join me for the Night of the Roast on the 26th at the Hollywood Improv. So let's go ahead and bring him in. You know him from as being the director of and co-creator of the Reality Game Masters. Here he is. It's Alex Forstenhausler.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much. Yeah, this roast is going to be great. We're going to make sure that you're never able to show your face on a video podcast ever again.
Yes, yes. Alex, what has been more fun so far? Working with reality stars on playing the board game Risk, or working with reality stars who are making jokes about me?
Oh, you know, it's both so different. I think the jokes is kind of more exciting, just because there's so much more to it, and you know, there's just a lot more humor is involved here. Yeah. So you know, when it comes to the board game, that was just a little more stressful. With the roast, it's just, you know, it's just about who can make the best jokes, and we're just going to have a fun time.
Now, how have the jokes been that have been coming in? Of course, that when you send in your jokes, either at roastjokes@robhasawebsite.com or go to robhasawebsite.com/roastjokes, they're going to Alex and going to Scott St. Pierre to be curated and eventually filtered down to the survivors. How have the jokes been so far?
You know, I'm not going to lie. Some jokes are better than others. but, you know, for the most part, they've all made me laugh in some way or another. Even the ridiculous ones that aren't really jokes. They're more kind of statements that they're saying or questions.
Yeah.
But they're all funny. And I hope, yeah, they keep coming in, because, you know, we're going to use a bunch of them. And yeah, who knows? You don't know what reality star could be saying a joke that you wrote.
So can you tell me can you tell me the least funniest joke you've received so far?
Oh man, I wish I wrote it down. I think it wasn't really a joke. It was more just being like, "Is Rob Sestrunino a virgin?" Question mark. you just had a child.
I have a kid.
I don't even know why that's a question, but or a joke. It was very confusing.
Yeah. Well, that would be confusing. So try to make your jokes make sense. That's really ideal.
Yeah, it is ideal.
Yeah, not too much sense, but that would be helpful. So
it's good if they have a punchline. That's the key.
Yeah, that's good.
And a setup and a punchline, and not one or the other. Those are what we would prefer.
Yeah. Now, has there been anything that's come in that has been so mean that you say, "Oh my God, this is going to destroy Rob"?
Not yet. Maybe some of the stuff that I've written myself, possibly.
Oh no! So what you've been receiving hasn't been so mean that I will be very upset.
Oh, I don't think so. You know, no, it's not about making people upset. It's just about kidding around. And as you know, you only roast the ones you love. And that's why Rob Zabagnik is not going to be there.
Have you been getting a lot of jokes about the other survivors on the dais?
Yes, yes. I mean, most of the jokes have been about you. But yeah, a few people have been sending jokes about the other people, and I would like to encourage people to keep writing more jokes about the other members of the dais.
How about jokes about people that aren't there? Because I feel like that's fair game also.
Yeah, we haven't gotten really jokes about people who aren't there. But yeah, I think, yeah, that's fair game. Whoever you want to write a joke about, do it. And if it's good, we'll still say it. You know, you can, yeah, just because they're not there doesn't mean we can't make fun of them.
Actually,
that's what I always say.
That's right. At least if they're there, they have a chance to defend themselves.
That is true. But you see, it's up to them. All survivors, I think, you know, they can show up if they want.
Yeah.
Right?
Anybody can
buy a ticket.
Yes, I will give a free ticket to any survivor that wants to be in the building. That is my promise. There you go. I also have another name to confirm here with you guys for Rob Has a Roast. I think this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Of course, I've told you already about the Otis, the Tyson, the Parvati, the John Fincher. Oh, I'm sorry. I hadn't told you yet about the John Fincher, but that's a slip up by myself. And yeah, that is one of the so I'm actually going to tell you two names right now. So John Fincher is one. The Fincheler will be there. So now you
that
know
that guy's a poser.
Will there be any John Fincher is a poser jokes? Yeah. So
I mean, yeah.
All right. So you got your Otis, you got Tyson, you got Parvati, you got Sophie, you got John Fincher, and somebody who I think is going to be very, very fun, he's going to be with us from Survivor Philippines, Abby Maria Gomez.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
No, I'm scared to go. I don't know.
Yeah. who is a moron, who is an idiot. And that's going to be, I think, very, very fun. So there's two more names for you for the roast. So very, very exciting. Next weekend, it's all happening.
It's all happening. I think people should buy their tickets. You know, it's not every day that you get a chance to watch the roast of the 15th place finisher of Survivor All Stars.
Save the material. By the way, I know that a lot of people have been asking about if they're going to be able to see it live, and I don't have a definitive answer, but I have reason to believe. I've been having conversations with the people at the Sideshow Network who are helping to set this up at the Improv, and I do believe there will be a live stream that night, but I don't believe that it will be archived. So I think there will be a chance for you guys to watch it live that night, but I think it might be, you got to watch, if you want to see it, the video, you need to watch it that night. So I'm going to,
I think it makes it more special, Rob. Anything can happen,
but you got to watch it there on Sunday night. And I also have, I found out about this also this week. We've got a promo code also for $5 off the ticket. So basically a half price ticket if you use the promo code Survivor. And I apologize that I didn't find out about this earlier, because I feel bad that if you bought the ticket at the full price. But if you want to still get in, there is a promo code. Use the promo code Survivor and $5 off. And I wish that they would have told me that ahead of time, because I feel bad. So you can feel free to write a extra mean joke about me and send it in. But for that's my bad. I feel like there was also the weekend of the roast. I know a lot of people are coming in from out of town, including Alex Forstenhausler. But we got some stuff going on. We're trying to do a Rob Has a Podcast meetup on Saturday night. I'm trying to find a place that can accommodate a bunch of people, and then maybe also do a breakfast on Sunday morning, and then hopefully find some place where everybody can go after the roast. So trying to make it into a whole weekend and not just the roast.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, right?
That'd be fun. I can come to that?
Yeah, you can come to that. Although I may just want to go home after the roast. I may be I'm way too fragile for all this. But yeah, I am looking forward to it. I think it should be a fun night. Hopefully it's not too brutal.
It will be fun. Yeah. No. So it's all about love, Rob. It's all about love.
Is it? Is that what it's all about?
I mean that's what we say. I don't know if it's really about love.
All right. So send your jokes, roastjokes@robhasawebsite.com or robhasawebsite.com/roastjokes. All right, Alex, I'll see you soon.
Yeah, get ready.
You're coming in, what, a week from tomorrow?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, my God. All right, have a good weekend, okay, buddy?
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Alex Forstenhausler getting ready for the Big Survivor Roast. If you still want to either come into town for it, or if you live in L.A. and you want to come down, you can still get tickets at robhasawebsite.com/roast. So there's one more thing that I want to hit on before I start to wrap up this episode of the podcast. So as many of you guys know, I did a podcast with Gordon Holmes this week. And the topic of that podcast was that Gordon Holmes and I cast a Beauty, Brains, and Brawn season of Survivor with all stars. Now, the exercise was just taking people who we thought embodied the best people to fit on each of those tribes and sort of leaving out people who were triple threats and people who wouldn't come back and people who maybe are probably going to be saved for some sort of super all-stars. And so we had a lot of fun doing the show. I had a great time, but there was a lot of people commenting on the show after the fact, both on the comments on robhasawebsite.com and also with some of the people who are actual survivors on Twitter. And here's one of the messages that I got. This is a voicemail from Eric Connolly that came in. So I want to play this and then respond to it. So here's Eric Connolly.
Hey Rob, this is Eric from Columbus, Ohio calling, and this is my first time calling, and I don't email that much, but I just felt the need to after listening to the Brains, Brawn, and Beauty makeup tribe selection that you just did, and you chose Sierra for the Brains tribe, and I don't know why, but that's really bothering me. That doesn't make any sense. The only thing she did was to vote out her mom unnecessarily because her mom was being voted out anyway. I mean, if that constitutes being put onto the Brains tribe, then I should be put on the Brains tribe. I mean, the standard is pretty low. Other than a couple moves near the end of the game, because Hayden basically showed her that she needed to make a move, she did nothing all game. All right, my rant's over. Sarah should not be on the Brains tribe, but love the podcast. Other than that, thanks. Bye.
So just to defend my pick here, so Gordon Holmes and I talked about it, and we thought that Sierra would be a pretty good fit on the Brains tribe. While she does not have a profession that like a lawyer or rocket scientist or anything like that, you know, she played what I thought and was considered by many people to be a game that had some smarts to it. And the biggest factor was we know how bad the show probably wants to bring Sierra back. Jeff Probst stood up and applauded, and that's how you play the game at the finale. So we factored in a lot of different things and put Sierra on the Brains tribe. Now, she narrowly edged out Eliza for that last spot on the Women's Brain tribe, along with Sophie. And I'm trying to remember who the other person was on the Brain. Oh, Ceree. So Sophie, Ceree, and Sierra, which is probably a tongue twister, and probably for that reason you probably need Eliza in there. But so Eliza was the honorable mention. She ended up getting bumped by Sierra, and a lot of people were critical of that in the comments, and a lot of people were also critical on Twitter, including Eliza herself, who tweeted at me on Wednesday night to say boo, and that boo had like 15 O's on it, which made me feel very bad. So our friend Mike Ramone tweeted, completely agree, How do you have a Brains tribe and not have Eliza? Instead, Sierra, and he's hashtag bollocks. And then Eliza tweeted, I would eat her alive in any mental arena. Bring it on. To which then the real Sierra, at Sierra Easton, jumped in and said, who's Eliza? ? Ooh, and that has to hurt. But the problem was that Sierra wrote who's Eliza and used the wrong form of who's. She spelled it W-H-O-S-E Eliza instead of W-H-O apostrophe S Eliza. And so then Eliza came back, all caps, and said, and who are you calling Brains? 5 question marks, hashtag learn to spell, hashtag not smart, hashtag survivor, which was those are fighting words. Those are fighting words about that. And then what happened was Sierra said it was autocorrect, and to basically calm down, it's not even a real thing. And which somebody else replied, this is exactly why you need Eliza, because this is a fake cast list and Eliza is this pissed off, which is the perfect reason why you need her. And then all of you guys got involved, and some of you guys were retweeting things from Sierra, and some of you guys were retweeting things from Eliza. And then finally, Eliza was going back and forth, and Sierra tweeted, we can end this by saying Eliza is the smartest ever, and she was robbed. Now, can I leave this convo? Which was very funny. Then Stephen Fishback got involved, and he said, forget about Eliza and Sierra. We need Aaron Lobdell, which seemed like some trolling from Stephen Fishback, if you ask me. But and then Laura Moret jumped in today and said, catching up on all the tweets, all I have to add is, wow, hashtag charming, not... Oh, my God. So the BBB podcast that Gordon Holmes and I have done, because it was supposed to be a good thing and not creating all of this drama in the Survivor world. RHAP is for good purposes. We don't want to get the Survivors fighting with each other on Twitter. That is never, ever what we want on this podcast. We try not to make Survivors fight on Twitter. But you know, if it happens, we're going to talk about it. We'll report it to you when exactly that happens. So we've got a lot more coming here this weekend. Again, we're going to have to probably get a endorsement from Eliza for who she's throwing her support behind for Miss Survivor this year. So we'll find out from that as we go along. So busy week ahead here on Rob as a Podcast. Let me just give you a quick rundown of what's coming up. So of course the polls open for Miss Survivor this Sunday, 12:01 Eastern. Then on Monday, it is the Survivor Pearl Islands 10-year anniversary show. We're going to hear from Sandra, Johnny Fairplay, Burton, Krista, Rupert, but we've got maybe a few more people we'll add before Monday. So we are going to have a very fun show on Monday night. And then on Tuesday, we'll have the premiere of The Opposite Worlds. We're going to cover that, and then we're going to talk with Kurt Clark after the premiere on Tuesday night. And then we'll also recap what happens for you guys on Wednesday night after Opposite Worlds has its first elimination for you. So a very, very busy week here as we're starting to really, really heat up in January. So happy to have you guys locked in. If you're not subscribed to Rob as a Podcast, you could always go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or subscribe with whatever your favorite podcatcher is. And before I go, I just want to talk about one other thing that's available to you guys. I know you guys know about my services to help you get on a reality TV show and help you go through the casting process to make your application video for Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race. But I'm also making my services available if you want to meet with me one-on-one to talk about any sort of web projects that you are trying to get off the ground. Now, whether it's a blog or a podcast or a small business website, I can be a pretty good resource for you if you want to work with me one-on-one on trying to get what you're trying to do off the ground. I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast have ideas for their own podcast that they want to start or their own blog that they want to start, but they don't really know the steps to get started with that. So if you want to know more about how that would work, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/consulting. That's also the same link to go to if you want to work with me one-on-one on how to get your reality TV application video up to snuff. Okay. So busy week ahead. I want to hear from you guys in the comments. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week when Miss Survivor voting kicks off and the countdown to Rob Has a Roast is down to 1 week to go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.